So thank you very much everyone for joining the conference and having wonderful chanting session. So today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Kalasudha Mataji to speak on Nectary and Mellows of Gopi Gita. So please take over the call, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you once again, Shyama Gauri Mataji, and thank you for calling me and for arranging the call, Shyama Gauri Mataji and Lalitandi Mataji for calling me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudire Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Namah Pankajanabhaya Namah Pankajamaline Namah Pankajanetraya Namaste Pankajangraye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, entitled The Gopi Songs of Separation. Continuing on with the Nectarian Mellows of the Gopi Gita. Reading from text 12. Dina Parekshaye Nila Kuntalai Vanaruhananam Bibhraravritam Ghanarajaswanam Darshayanmohu Manasinasmaram Virayachasi. Translation. At the end of the day, you repeatedly show us your lotus face, covered with dark blue locks of hair, and thickly powdered with dust. Thus, O hero, you arouse lusty desires in our mind. Om Agyanati Nirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Radhanath Swami Niti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Jaya Pataka Swami Niti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayane Gaura Katha Dhammadaya Nagara Gramatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So continuing on with our series of the Nectarian Mellows of Sri Gopi Gita, We are at text 12 today, this morning. The gopis, they are continuing their complaint towards Krishna. In the previous verse, we saw that how the gopis are saying that what happens when Krishna leaves for the forest in the mornings. And, you know, how the gopis' minds are so disturbed for the entire day. Of course, not just the entire day, but just also, you know, because they do meet with Krishna at the mid-noon. But just the fact that Krishna is leaving for them for a few hours, going out of their sight for a few hours, disturbs them very, very much. And that is what the gopis are describing in the previous verse, in text 11, that what is the condition when the when Krishna, along with the cows and the cowherd boys, are leaving from Vrindavan in the morning. And now in text 12, the gopis are saying that at the end of the day, when you come back, you thus show us your lotus face repeatedly, because, you know, we see you right in front of us, you're coming back, and you are actually covered, you know, your lotus face is covered with Neela Kuntalai. Neela Kuntalai, Neela means dark blue, Kuntalai means locks of hair. Now Krishna, he has very, very, very beautiful, you know, hair. And the description is also given that his hair is so soft, so silky, just like black cotton. You know how fluffy and soft the cotton looks like? And then if you make, you know, locks of it, how beautiful and amazing it is going to look. So that's exactly how the curls actually fall on Krishna's lotus face, making his moon-like face beam more, much, much more radiantly. It's very, very beautiful when the locks of curling hair falls on Krishna's lotus face, covering his lotus face. And that's what the gopis are saying, that your Neela Kuntalai, your dark blue hair is falling on your moon-like face. And it is, you know, just covering your face in that way so beautifully. And then they're saying also that there is a thick powder of dust that is settled on your face. Because Krishna, the whole day, you know, Krishna, generally a day in Vrindavan goes by like this, that he kills a demon in the morning, he kills a demon in the afternoon, and he kills a demon just before coming home. So like this, Krishna kills so many demons, and every single day, at least minimum of three. And sometimes, you know, he is, and because of all that, you know, frolicking and playing around with his friends, herding by the cows, killing the demons, doing all of these activities, a lot of the dust, the Vraja means dust. The Vraja, the dust of Vrindavan, settles on Krishna's body, not just his lotus face, but, you know, his entire body is covered with dust. And that actually makes him look so gorgeously beautiful. You know, just imagine if sometimes when, if we are going out to even Parikrama, you know, here in Sri Mayapur Dham, from tomorrow, then Sri Navadvip Mandal Parikrama is starting. And many of us are going and, you know, performing this parikrama. And, you know, when we come back, everyone, you know, looks at each other's faces, because even our faces get covered with dust. And our real, you know, face gets lost somewhere. We are hardly able to recognize each other. And we definitely, at least I can say for myself, when I look myself in the mirror, and you know, everyone laughs because we look funny, you know, when we get covered in dust. That's the difference. When, you know, when we get covered in dust, we really don't look so good. But Krishna, he is so amazing. He is so absolute that nothing can decrease the beauty of Krishna. Rather, each and every ingredient that comes in contact with Krishna increases Krishna's beauty. That is Krishna. That is the supremacy of Krishna. That is the absolute nature of Krishna. That anything that comes in contact, any anything, any article, even jewelry, his dress, his associates, his, you know, even the dust of Vrindavan, when it settles on Krishna's body, that dust becomes more beautiful. Krishna becomes more beautiful. That is the supremacy of Krishna. So when Krishna comes home every evening, he's covered with so much of thick dust, and there is so much of, the way his, you know, hair is falling on his face. He looks so beautiful, and the gopis are saying that, hey, Veera, they're addressing Krishna as Veera. Veera means, O hero, O warrior, O brave one. So they're addressing Krishna as Veera in this particular verse and saying that you are so Veera, you are so, you are our hero. Not just because you're so attractive, not just because, you know, what does a hero in today's day, you know, what do we mean by a hero? He's like the ultimate, you know, power-packed package, you know, all the good things that we can all think of come in the form of these four-letter words, which is called as hero. A hero means he's the best person, he is a very good son, very good brother, very good, you know, friend, very good husband, very good father. He's like the perfect role model. He's perfect in every way. He is very good looking. He has perfect relationships. That is what is meant by a hero. So Krishna, in that sense, is being addressed as a hero because not only here, of course, the gopis are actually just describing his beauty and his, you know, perfection in his, you know, the way his body looks. But the gopis are also saying that, you know, when you come back from the forest, you would have killed so many demons, and thus you are our protector too. So therefore, you are our hero in every practical, you know, sense of it, of the word, that you are really our hero. You are our Veera. So therefore, the gopis are very appropriately addressing Krishna as Veera. Hey, Veera, that you, you know, by seeing you in this form when you come back in the evening, you are arousing lusty desires in our minds. Now, when the gopis are saying that you arouse lusty desires, smaram basically means Cupid. You know, manasi naha smaram veera yachati, that, you know, the Cupid is actually shooting his arrows towards us and thus making us get more fond of you. Now, we should understand, you know, every time we read these verses, I make it a point to remind even myself more than anybody else. I like to remind myself that we should never ever consider or fail to understand the position of the gopis. The gopis are on a transcendental platform. They've got no trace of lust in them. And what they're referring here to as lust, it's actually nothing but what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the clear distinction of what is kama and what is prema. Mahaprabhu has said that atmendriya priti vancha tare bole kam. And Krishnendriya Prithivancha Dhare Premonam, which means that when we are desiring just our personal sense gratification, which is independent of Krishna, which has got no Krishna in that equation, then that is karma, that is lust. But Krishnendriya Prithivancha Dhare Premonam, which means when we are desiring only satisfaction of Krishna, when we are desiring enjoyment of Krishna or enjoyment with Krishna, enjoyment for Krishna, enjoyment with Krishna, that is prema. So we need to understand that this karma or this lusty desires that has been, you know, translated herein, which is for a lack of a better word, but this is just showing the unconditional love that the gopis have for Krishna. that they're saying that, Krishna, you are arousing all the spiritual desires in our hearts that are buried deep down in our hearts. You're just arousing them. That whenever we see you coming in this most, you know, captivating and enchanting form, that our hearts are just lost to you, O Krishna. We lose everything to you. And we desire this because it is for your satisfaction. So that is what we need to understand, is the mood of the gopis. That we should never ever think that, you know, how the gopis can say like this, or how, oh, that means the gopis are also on the mundane platform. No, the gopis are always on a transcendental platform. And this fact was actually proved by Uddhava himself. Uddhava, he is a very dear friend of Krishna. And Uddhava was actually a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. He was very much on the platform of Jnana. He was a Jnani, a very, very, philosophical thinker he was. But he did know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the knowledge that he had and the attachment to knowledge that he had was much more than his attachment to Krishna himself. So one day when Krishna was in Dwarka, at that time Krishna suddenly remembered his friends, the gopis. And although Krishna was married at that time, he had, 16,108 queens and, the best of luxurious, facilities available to Krishna. Everything was at his disposal. He was completely satisfied. He's Purna. He's complete. And, he had the love of 16,108 queens who loved him, more than their own lives. But one day, Krishna, he was sitting in his palace, in his own palace, and he was remembering the love of the gopis. And Krishna was crying tears of ecstasy in their separation. And he was crying so much that Krishna felt that his room, in Dwarka has flooded, and that Krishna is drowning in that ocean of sorrow from the separation that he is feeling from gopis and Srimati Radharani. And at that very moment, Uddhava walked in. And when Uddhava walked in, he said, what is this? You, Krishna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why are you crying? It doesn't suit you. It doesn't befit you. Why are you crying, Krishna? Uddhava asked Krishna. And then Krishna said, well, I'm crying because I'm missing my dear devotees, the gopis. I'm missing them. And Uddhava said, well, all this is coming because of your attachment. You're very attached. So, you should not be so attached. And Uddhava was speaking completely from the Jnani platform, from the mind, from the mind of a yogi. He was speaking like that, like Jnana. He was giving knowledge to Krishna and saying that, Krishna, this is all, all attachment you're having, and you should not be, thinking in this way. Once you know that, yes, and once you realize that, I know that you are the Supreme Lord, but once you also realize that, then you are supremely, complete. You don't have to miss anybody. You don't have to feel like this for anybody. Uddhava is telling Krishna. And then Krishna said, well, I don't know, but my heart, it's just bleeding. I don't know what I can do. Please, Uddhava, you are such a big, Jnani. I want a help from you. I really want your help. Can you please do me a favor? So then Uddhava said, all right, Kanha, you are not only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but you are my cousin and my, you are very, very worshipable to me. So, okay, whatever you say, I will do to relieve you from this misery that you're going through. So then Krishna thanked Uddhava and said that, here, I have written this letter. So can you please have it delivered to Vrindavan? Go and deliver to Nanda Baba and Yashoda Ma. Can you deliver this letter to them? And I have this letter for Nanda Baba and Yashoda Ma, and I have another letter for the gopis and Srimati Radharani. So can you give these letters to them. And once I know that, you know, you have given them my message, then my heart will be a little bit satisfied. So please do me this favor. So Uddhava said, oh, only this much work you're giving me, Krishna? Sure, no problem. I'll just leave for Vrindavan right away. And I will fulfill your instruction. I will go and meet Nanda Baba. I'll go meet Yashoda Mata. I'll go and also meet the gopis. And I will explain to them also that they should also not be crying so much in separation from you, that they should try to fix their mind on your, you know, absolute form and, you know, think, you know, that you are really the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all this love and all of this is, you know, really like an attachment. No, no, no. I'll make them also understand. You don't worry, Krishna. I'll take care of it. So in this way, Uddhava, he left Dwarka and he started for Vrindavan. And when Uddhava entered Vrindavan and he came into Vrindavan, now, all of this, actually, I'm narrating. It is from a lecture that I personally was very, very fortunate to hear from the lotus mouth of His Holiness Radharaman Maharaj. And Maharaj gave this class just on the outskirts of Nandagaon the day that we were, during the Brajamandal Parikrama, the day that we were about to enter from Barshana, we were walking to Nandagaon, and just at the outskirts of Nandagaon is this very beautiful place, and it is called as Uddhava Kairi. Uddhava Kairi, and Maharaj sat there in the open field, and we all sat with him, and Maharaj gave this very, very beautiful class on Uddhava and his meeting with the Brajbasis. So all I'm narrating is from Maharaj's class. And this class, it's, you know, had a very, very profound impact on me. So that's why I feel like hearing it over and over again. So that's why I'm sharing it with all of you. So Maharaj went on to explain that Uddhava, you know, he had Krishna's messages, letters with him. And he was so excited that he was going in the mission of Krishna himself. And he came to the outskirts of Braj. And he came to this very spot, to Uddhava Kairi. And as soon as he came here, you know, the Brajbasis, they came running because they saw a princely chariot coming. And whenever a princely chariot would come, they would think that Akrura has come back with their Kanha and Balaram. So the Brajbasis, some of them, they ran towards the chariot. And Uddhava is very much, you know, same looking like Krishna. He also has a blue form. And, you know, they're cousins, so they look very, very similar. But when the Brajbasis came nearby, they realized that, oh, this is not Krishna, this is not our Krishna. And they again just were, you know, crying. They said, oh, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Who are you? You must be his cousin. Are you Uddhava? Like this, the Brajbasis inquired, and then Uddhava said, yes, I am Krishna's cousin, and I have come with a message for Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maiya. Can you tell me, where can I find their home? So the Brajbasis said, yes, we can show you where you can find the home of Nanda Baba and Yashoda Ma. You know, what you can see is, do you see this nala? You know, nala means, in Hindi, nala means like a little, how should I say, a little canal, you know, canal which is filled with water. Like a little, you know, just small, you know, stream of river, stream. This is not even a river, it's just a small stream. Like a flowing stream is called, you know, a nala. So then Uddhava said, yeah, I see this nala. So then the Brajvasi said, okay, you just hold this nala and start walking. Wherever this nala ends, that will be the palace of Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maiya. So then Uddhava got a little suspicious. He said, Jamuna is flowing on the other side. So what nala is this? What kind of a stream, water stream is this? So then the Brajbasis were crying and they said that this was never there before Krishna left Vrindavan. That this stream has actually come when Krishna left Vrindavan, that Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maya have been crying tears of separation, and their tears are so never ending, they never stop, and they have made this little stream of water, a continuous flowing of stream of water. So they have been crying in separation from Krishna. So if you just follow the stream, keep walking along the side of the stream, you will reach the palace. So Uddhava, hearing this, he was very shocked and stunned. And then Uddhava did exactly that. He started walking along the path of the stream of the Nala, and he reached one palace. But that did not look like a palace at all. Uddhava was shocked that there were cobwebs everywhere. It looked like nobody has been living there for years. It was completely dark. There was no light that was entering into this palace. All the windows were closed. Everything was so dark. It was looking like a, you know, not a properly habitated house. It was, you know, really looking abandoned property. And then Uddhava just went inside, and he knocked on the door. And when he knocked on the door, a very, very, very old and weak man opened the door. And he said, yes. And he said, and then Uddhava realized that this is Nanda Baba. And then Uddhava touched the lotus feet of Nanda Maharaj and said, Baba, I have come from Dwarka with a message from Kanha that I am Uddhava. I am your Krishna's cousin, so I've come with a message from your son. As soon as, you know, Krishna's name was uttered by Uddhava, he heard a loud shriek, you know, that my Kanha's message has come, my Kanha's message has come. A lady's voice was coming. And he heard that there was one very, very, very old lady who was like a, you know, her body, there was no no stability in that lady's body. She was so weak, she was not able to stand up straight. There was not an iota of flesh in her body. It was all bones and skeleton. She was so weak that she had to just, you know, use a stick to walk. She was not able to even stand straight. And Uddhava realized that that is Yashoda Maya. And she had become so old just because of the separation from Krishna. It seemed that they both had aged over 100 years. In a few years, they had aged over 100 because of their intense separation from Krishna. So Yashoda Ma came running, you know, in that, you know, holding that stick. And as fast as she could walk, she came towards Uddhava. And she came and said, my Kanha, he has sent a message. Can you please read? Come, please sit, come sit. And they were, you know, just cleaning up little, you know, bit of the portion of the house. Nanda Baba was excitedly cleaning up some, you know, chairs so that Uddhava can sit. And then Yashoda Ma said, no, how can I just ask you to read the letter? Let me at least give you some water. Please wait. So then Nanda Baba went inside and he brought some water. And Yashoda Ma, she said, my Kanha's cousin, my Kanha's brother has come. And I don't have anything to offer to this boy. He is Krishna's friend. He has brought Krishna's message. Krishna's message is none different from Krishna himself. And he has come to this home, and I have nothing to give him because we have not even been cooking. Whatever some devotees come and give, Brajbasis give, we survive on that. I have not entered the kitchen, but now I have to because Uddhava is here. So Yashoda Ma went to her neighbor. She got a little bit of milk. And then with that, she made a little bit of sweet rice for Uddhava in her kitchen. And her kitchen was full of cobwebs. There were the dishes and the utensils, they were not used for years. Yashoda Ma, with that weak body of hers, she was just cleaning up. And she made a little bit of sweet rice for Uddhava. And with very weak and shaking hands, Yashoda Ma brought that sweet rice bowl for Uddhava. And Uddhava tasted that sweet rice. It was like pure nectar. And after having that sumptuously, Uddhava was so satisfied that, you know, Nanda Baba and Yashoda Ma, they were patiently sitting and they were looking at Uddhava and his lotus face, because his lotus face was reminding them of their beloved son Krishna. And they were waiting. They did not even one moment say, okay, can you please read the letter? It was showing in their gesture, but they wanted Uddhava to first, you know, little relax and finish his sweet rice, drink some water, and then, you know, when Uddhava would be ready, he, you know, they were waiting that he would read, he start reading the letter that Krishna has sent for them. And seeing that intense love that Nanda Baba and Yashoda Ma felt for Krishna, Uddhava started feeling a little embarrassed of his panditya, of his scholarship, of his jnana. Uddhava started feeling a little embarrassed. And so with that embarrassment a little bit, Uddhava started reading the letter from Maya, from Krishna to Maya Yashoda and to Nanda Baba. And hearing that, their tears knew no bounds. They were just going on crying that our Krishna is missing us as much as we are missing him. In fact, even more. At least here, Nanda Baba was saying to Yashoda Ma that at least we have each other. Over there, our Kanha is all alone. He doesn't even have, see how much he has shared his misery with us. We are not even there. So, you know, for him, let us try to be happy, then Krishna will be happy. Like this, they were consoling each other, they were just reminiscing their time spent with Krishna, and they were just, you know, ecstatically just drowning in an ocean of sorrow in separation from Krishna. That was exactly their position, that how they were ecstatically drowning in an ocean of sorrow in separation from Krishna. So like this, seeing this Vatsalya Ras that, you know, Yashoda Maya and Nanda Baba share for Krishna, Uddhava was really stunned. And then Uddhava excused himself. He said, okay, I will leave. And Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Ma gave some, you know, little goodies for Krishna, for Uddhava to take back with him. And then Uddhava left from there and he came and met with the gopis. And when he came and met with the gopis, he actually met with them at this particular spot, which is called as Uddhava Kairi, because, you know, they didn't want to meet within the village. They wanted to meet at the outskirts of the village of Nandagaon. So the gopis and Srimati Radharani came there, and, you know, Uddhava was saying that, yes, I do have a message from Kanha. And then, you know, they started saying, oh, can you please read it to us? Can you please, you know, read it to us? And, you know, Radharani was listening, and then, you know, she started wandering away, because Radharani started saying to Krishna in her, you know, separation, that Krishna, you are just like this bumblebee, because there was a bumblebee who was flying around Radharani. And Radharani said to that bumblebee that my Krishna is also just like you. He is never satisfied with one flower. He goes from one flower to the other, to the other, to the other. So now you go and tell this message that I have told like this. Go and tell this to your Dwarka Krishna. Like this, Radharani was feeling intense separation from Krishna. And the gopis, they were, you know, after Uddhava read the letter, and the gopis said, let us see, let us see. And they just, you know, said, okay, my name will be here, my name will be here. Krishna has written my name. Let us see. And they just tore that letter into million pieces, you know, because they wanted to see where is, you know, Krishna has written their name. And then, you know, seeing that intense love that the gopis have for Krishna, Uddhava's, you know, panditya, his knowledge, his jnana, completely evaporated. And that moment he prayed that let me be a blade of grass, let me become a creeper, a vine in this holy land of Vrindavan, because at least that way one day or the other the gopis will step on me and I will be blessed by the dust of their lotus feet. upon my head. But that was the desire that Uddhava had once he witnessed the love that the gopis have for Krishna. And till today it is explained that Uddhava resides in Brajamandala as, you know, the creeper, as a vine, as the grass, so that, you know, his desire of receiving the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis is fulfilled even till today. And there was a purpose, a very specific purpose, that Krishna wanted the message of, you know, himself to be passed on to the Brajbasis by Uddhava himself, because Krishna knew that his panditya, Uddhava's panditya, his jnana, can only be vanquished. You know, the ego that he had about the knowledge that he has, that one can only be eradicated when he witnesses the love that the Brajbasis have for Krishna. So that is the purpose with which Uddhava was sent to Vrindavan by Krishna, you know, and that purpose is completely fulfilled, because by witnessing the love that the Brajbasis have for Krishna, Uddhava completely transformed into a, you know, unalloyed prema bhakta of the Lord, an unalloyed pure devotee, a loving devotee of the Lord. There was no trace of jnana left in him. And till today, that place, you know, there is a very, very beautiful temple of Uddhava in the outskirts of Vrindavan, in the outskirts of Nandagaon. And this entire pastime was narrated so beautifully by Srila Radharaman Maharaj that, you know, especially the condition of Nanda Baba, the Shodamaya, the condition and the transformation of Uddhava was amazing. And all of this was, again, it boils down to the dust of Sri Vrindavan Dham. The Braja Raja of Vrindavan is so powerful that even when it adorns Krishna's body, Krishna becomes more beautiful. You know, that is the glory of Braja dust, the Braja Raja. And when we go for parikrama, it is said that before we start parikrama, we should take the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees by bowing down to the dham. When we bow down to the dham, we are taking permission and blessings from the dham that, you know, for the next few days we are going to walk on you. And the dham is none other than Chintamani dham. It is Audarya dham. It is the spiritual world. It is the chit shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the manifestation of the dham. It is actually a manifestation of Lord Balaram himself, is the dham. Lord Balaram manifests as the dham. So when we step on the holy dham, we should offer obeisances to the holy dham and beg for permission to be able to walk on the holy dham, so that we are able to walk with the right mood, with the right attitude, and we are nothing but a receptacle of, you know, just a receiving bowl we have in our hand. We just become a vessel for receiving mercy. How can we become an appropriate vessel where, you know, abundance of mercy can flow in? That is when we can have the same kind of mood that the gopis are expressing towards Krishna. When we try to follow in their footsteps by, you know, how can we become Gopi Bhartupada Kamalayor Dasa 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 Nudas? Ashila Prabhupada has given us the teachings that Prabhupada has given us, chanting 16 rounds minimum every single day, following the four regulative principles. And when we do this, when we do Vaishnava Seva, when we do, you know, when we share Krishna consciousness with others, then we become qualified that, yes, we can become a proper vessel, at least just that proper vessel, so that we can receive the, you know, unalloyed mercy of Krishna, unadulterated, unfiltered, you know. It's not even filtered, it's just direct mercy coming. So then we have to have that proper vessel in which we can receive such mercy. And that can be received only when we are able to follow the ABC of Krishna consciousness to the core. So with this, I will end here today. We will continue on from text 13 onwards. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON Vartaman Guru Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. This is Komoda Kidasi. Please accept my Dhanmat Pranam. I feel like that I'm there by you describing this pastime about Uddhava and the Uddhava Khyari that Radharaman Maharaj has explained. Very, very nice, wonderful nectar. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Krishna,
okay, go ahead, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Mataji, I didn't know this part of the story, but I'm just curious. So why didn't Krishna take them to Dwaraka, Mataji? I was thinking he took everyone to Dwaraka. So this is new. I didn't know this story.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, no, Nanda Baba and the Brajvasis did not go to Dwaraka. They were in Vrindavan itself. And why they did not go, why Krishna did not take them, because separation from Krishna, when, you know, we are in loving separation from Krishna, the love intensifies. And it's called as vipralamba. It's called service and love and separation. And to experience that, even Krishna wanted to experience that intense love. You know, that although Krishna was in Dwarka, surrounded with all these loving people, his queens, his, you know, parents were also there, Vasudeva and Devaki. But still, Krishna's heart is in Vrindavan, you know. So loving reciprocation is not really bound by physical proximity. That is what, you know, is what we need to understand. That when we have loving emotions, that can surpass any amount of physical proximity. That time physical boundaries have no boundaries, actually. You know, when we think of Vrindavan, when we think of Mayapur, we are actually there, you know. Even His Grace Jananivas Prabhu told us one time, he said that Mayapur is not just a physical place, but Mayapur is actually a state of consciousness. If we can, we might be staying in, you know, a different part of the world, but if we are constantly connected with Mayapur Dham, then you are in Mayapur Dham. The Dham is present. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when he left Vrindavan and he went to fulfill the orders of his spiritual master when he went to New York for that 1 year, from 1965 to 1966, Srila Prabhupada was struggling by himself, a 70-year-old man, all by himself, you know, in that cold country with no friends. Nobody to even support Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was all by himself. But Prabhupada said that he never felt alone. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada, he carried Vrindavan in his heart. He says, he wrote in his journal that I never felt, even for a moment, I never felt separated from my spiritual master, nor did I feel separated from the holy dham of Vrindavan. Because Srila Prabhupada carried Vrindavan in his heart. So wherever he was feeling the presence of Sri Vrindavan Dham. He was feeling the presence of the spiritual master because he was fulfilling the words and the instructions of his spiritual master. So when we also learn to mold our life by the instructions given to us by our spiritual master, then we will never be separated from our spiritual master. So similarly, the gopis, the brajvasis of were actually wanting to relish this rasa also of love in separation. So that is the reason why that, you know, and there are many more reasons also that why the Brajvasis never went to Dwarka. But this is one of the primary ones. I hope
thank
this
you.
Answers your question, Prabhu.
Yes, Madhavi. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, Aukushala Prabhupada and Rudev. Wonderful explanation, Mataji. Last word touched to heart that where we are staying, but our heart is in Vrindavan or Mayapur Dham, we are there. Still, we are not qualified for entering the Dham for some responsibility. Thank you, Mataji, for Gopi Gita explanation. How nicely you explained that we feel we are there. Then Mataji, can you please sing 3-4 Gopi Gita? Please, Mataji, tell us.
Sure. I was, you know, loving reciprocation to you that you always give me this opportunity. I definitely will. For sure, in the end, I will do that. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the nectarian, you know, like you all took us to the Vrindavan and all this mood of separation, you know, it's like, it's you have that bhav, that's why you can do it, that Mataji, all glories to you, Mataji. Thank you so much, and please pray for us to Shishi, Radha Madhava, and Panchatattva, and Lord Narasingh Dev. Thank you, Mataji.
I definitely will pray for all of you, for whatever little my prayers are worth, but please also bless us that we can do the parikrama and, you know, as a service to our spiritual masters, and offer the result of the parikrama to them. So we beg for all of your blessings. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for all the wonderful answers. I have one more small question. Mataji, in the beginning you mentioned in one day of Krishna's pastime, typically, he kills around 3 demons every day. So, wow, that's amazing. I didn't know that. So the demons which we are reading in the Krishna book and other thing, they are just the major ones only. So, but otherwise, he is actually okay. I just wanted to that.
Yes. Because it is explained that Kamsa, you know, as soon as one demon would get news that one of them is dead, he would send, you know, like he would send a few couple of them, you know, just small time ones, and then one big one, you know, like Keshi or Arishta or, you know, all of these big demons, they would come, you know, and the big ones are the ones that are mentioned, but the really tiny ones, you know, that Krishna would just kill, like, phew, done. He would kill them just like that, but Kamsa would keep sending them, yes.
So I was curious, like, Nanda Baba and Yashodama also knew about all these killings, or just it was kept within the cowherd boys and they didn't communicate?
Well, you know, there are many of the ones that, you know, were hidden from, you know, the elders because they knew that they would get, very disturbed, you know, and probably sometimes they would also fear that if the elders knew, then, you know, next time they would not be allowed to go. The next day they would not be allowed to go into the forest, you know, because they'd be so concerned. So it was a little arrangement sometimes that the cowherd boys would have with Krishna that, okay, Krishna will not say about this. Like about the fire extinguishing pastime, that Krishna extinguished the forest fire and he swallowed it up. Krishna told the cowherd boys that don't tell this to Nanda Baba. He especially mentioned it. And sometimes when he would kill very big demons, Krishna would make sure that he tells that, don't tell this to Nanda Baba or Jashodama. They would be very concerned. And, you know, but sometimes it would just slip out, you know, like Kaliya's incident. You know, they all came and saw, you know, because even, you know, all the cowherd boys and everyone, they got scared because Krishna was not coming out for a long time. So then, you know, they all ran to Nandagaon, brought all, you know, all the elderly Brajbasis came, Nanda Baba, Jashoda Ma came. And at that time, after a long time, Krishna came out, and he came out, you know, dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. So they came and saw some, you know, very gruesome acts of Krishna, so to speak, which would really alert them. But they would all think, because of their love for Krishna so deep, they would think that, oh, Vishnu is having special mercy on our little child, you know, that he's always being protected, you know, by Vatsalya Ras. They would forget the supremacy of Krishna because of their pure love for Krishna. They would forget the supremacy of Krishna, you know. So, yeah, sometimes they would say, to answer your question, sometimes it would be revealed, sometimes it would not, you know.
That's very nice, Maharaj. Thank you. Very, very informative, very nectarian class, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. I was just repeating the class from Srila Radharaman Maharaj. Nothing else. So all glories to Maharaj, actually. I'm just a repeater. So thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanat Pranam. Glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Mataji, thank you so much. Only by pure heart they can, you can bring Maharaj later through you. Even we can purify ourselves, Mataji. Thank you so much. Mataji, I have a small question. Mataji, sometime we hearing this pastime, how Nanda Maharaj and then Yashoda Mai, they were suffering. We know that that suffering because Krishna want to means give more happiness in the, you know, this in the separation. But listening this past time, we feel so sad, Mataji. How we means it's they were suffering in that way. It is very tough, Mataji. How we deal this thing. How can we?
Yes.
It's a very painful in the heart, Mataji.
Yes, yes, that is very true. I remember when I heard this class for the first time from Radharaman Maharaj. I mean, you can see that I had not recorded it. I have not recorded it. Nor I had taken any notes, but this class made such an impression, you know, that I remember each and every word from Maharaj's class, you know. It was so profound, the way Maharaj spoke. It was like seeing it happening in front of the eyes, you know. That was the potency with which Maharaj can speak. So we don't need any recording to understand and to repeat this class, you know. But the thing is that when we realize that such intense love exists, you know, that this kind of intensity that, you know, when they cry in separation from Krishna, that they can make a, you know, a stream of water, you know, like a nala is made, a canal of water is made. Just hearing that, it seems, you know, that and the way Maharaj had described the frailty of the bodies of Nanda Maharaj and Jashoda Maya in separation from Krishna, All that was very, very painstaking to hear. There's no doubt about it. But then it also gives us the level of love that Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maya have for Krishna. And it gives us an aspiration that when will we be able to cry for Krishna, at least to fill even one small bowl, you know, one small katori. Can we even do that? But that's the aspiration, you know, that is the standard that we have to rise to. This is the footstep that we have to follow. That how, you know, in loving separation, because our parampara that is given to us by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Radha and Krishna himself. And Mahaprabhu has given us this mode of vipralambha, of service and separation. And that how Srila Prabhupada, he manifested this entire society, this entire organization of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness as a service of separation to his spiritual master. This is a manifestation of Srila Prabhupada's love to his spiritual master. And now it is our responsibility to our great grand spiritual master, to our grand spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, and to our spiritual masters, to our current Guru Vargas, that how we are able to protect the integrity of our society, and how much are we able to further this movement. That will be our service to our, you know, predecessors, to our Guru Vargas, to Srila Prabhupada, as a way that we show our gratitude to them. So this is how we can follow the footsteps of our acharyas, what they have done in showing their love to their spiritual master. What have they done? They have also done this service. This is what they have taught. So how much are we able to follow in that footstep and continue on the service, continue on this preaching mission that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has started, that Srila Prabhupada has given his life for? When we can do that, then we are following the footsteps of the gopis. Then we are following the footsteps of the Vrajvasis. It is painful. It is a painful process. But ultimately, even in that pain, you experience complete bliss. You experience, you know, completeness, because in that state, Krishna never leaves. Krishna, the reason why Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Maya were able to sustain their life is because they knew that Krishna is with them. That is the thing. That is the secret. So although externally they were so frail, they were so weak, they were so delicate, they were so tender, but still internally they were very, very strong because they knew that Krishna is with them, although he may be physically separated. So that is the way. That is the reason why they were able to take their, you know, breath. They were able to breathe because they knew that Krishna is with them. So that's how we show our love to Krishna. That's how we express our love to Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yes, Mataji. Still, means looking outwardly, they will look like that, but internally, they were always with Krishna. They were so happy. Yes, thank you so much, Mataji. And please pray for us in Mataji, in Navadip Mandala Parikrama also. Mataji.
I will definitely pray for whatever little my prayers are worth. I will definitely pray, but we beg for your blessings. Thank you. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dharma Pranam Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Mataji, very wonderful class, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, no more questions?
Hare Krishna, anybody has any questions or comments? Mataji, you have to sing Gopi Gita, please.
Oh. Yes, yes, I have not forgotten. I will definitely do that.
Okay,
so if there's no more questions, I can recite a couple verses. Okay, I'll recite texts 6, 7, 8, and 9. Vrajajanasti hum Virayoshita Nidrajanasmaya Dvamsanasmita Vrajasakhe Mano Jalaruhananam Charudarshaya Pranata Dehina Pamapakarshanam Trinacharanugam Shriniketanam Phanipanarpitam Te padambhujam Krinukucheshuna Krindhirichayam Madhuraya Kaya Buddha Manognaya Pushkarikshana Vidhikaririma Niramoyati Agharasi Dhuna Kathamritam Taptarivanam Kavibhiriritam Kalmashapaham Shravanam Kundanam Shrimadatatam Bhuvi grinanti ye Bhuri rajana Jai Shri Gopi Gita ki jai
Bhuri da, Bhuri da Hare Krishna Mataji, very very wonderful
Gopi Gita okay. Thank you very much and that it was Mataji
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, thank you so
much. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mataji. You have very wonderful voice. It's like nectar, Mataji. So we are looking forward for more nectarian classes and let's pay our obeisances to Mataji. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai shila prabhupada
ki jai
shri gopi gita ki jai har grace kalasada mataji ki jai
hare krishna
ananta koti